Fantasy opinion that matters.
It's Matt Freeman, the Oracle.
Who's the Oracle?
He's a fantasy football genius, okay? No wife, no job, just pure football knowledge.
He just licked a hot dog.
Expert analysis giving you the inside track for your league's crown.
Sidebar.
What's sidebar? You can't take my number one pick.
You give me the number one pick, I'm going to give you my sixth pick in the draft, okay? And I'm going to give your client 7 years. I'm going to knock it down from 10 to 7.
This is PDX Fantasy Sports Pundits.
Where in the court of law do you use the phrase, I'm going to get this right, balls deep?
Well, if you must know, Mr. Swall,
we're representing a children's playground consortium. Number of children drowned in a ball pit. We're wondering how deep is balls deep?
They were up to their mouth in balls.
Yes, they were balls deep.
Now, from Intercom Studios in Portland, Oregon, here is Jesse Osmond.
Deep down the middle of the field, on the fly, he's got Sanders at the 10, at the 5. He'll high-step it the last 5 yards. Touchdown, Denver. A 64-yard strike.
And Kevin Davis.
It's Elliott. Elliott for the touchdown.
Now, here is the PDX Fantasy Sports Pundits. And we're here, back, had some issues.
It's just one of those days, brother. It's just one of those days.
Andy, they're always those days, because coming in, hard day of work, got to come back, make this recording, scrambling, trying to make sure you got it all put together. Kevin's back.
I'm back, baby.
Thank God. Thank you, Jeff, for filling in. He did a great job. He won't be joining us today. I did send out an invite if he wanted to join. He was going to actually take the night off, spend some time with his family, spent the last couple weeks with us. So once again, thank you, Jeff, for filling in. But we have Kevin back. He gives us that perspective that's, well, it's a nice, it's just a good perspective.
It's just a good perspective, bro. It's just, yeah. This is what you need to be hearing during your fantasy league, whether you're winning, you're losing, or you're just almost there. You're on that line where you could be going to the playoffs, or you're about to just call it a season because your team is just that bad.
I've definitely come across a couple of those. Actually, like the last 2 weeks is when you kind of start seeing them. They just started off with such a bad, sour taste in the mouth the first 4 weeks of the season, 5 weeks of the season, that they just threw their hands up in the air instantly and leaving players in on bye weeks. And believe it or not, I actually lost to one of those teams the other day. My team just kind of fell on its face so bad. That was 2 weeks ago when Deshaun Watson just fell on his face. That was kind of an interesting week. I actually went 500, despite the fact I'm so invested in Deshaun Watson. I was pretty impressed with that because he was awful.
Yeah, didn't show up too well for you.
Not that he was great last week, but he was better, and that just kind of goes to show how bad he was 2 weeks ago. Welcome. I am Jesse Osmond. You can find me on Twitter at Jesse Osmond, A-S-Z-M-A-N. You can find Kev at Kev Got You on Twitter. I'm a little more active during football season, I'll admit it. I pretty much go silent outside of football season.
You're sleeping after football season.
Yeah, I definitely go into hibernation. But yeah, you can give us a follow if you like. We definitely put our fantasy thoughts out there every once in a while. We tweet back and forth. We definitely know who each other have in their lineups, and we know who we like, who we don't like, and then, you know, if we call it out on a podcast, we like to, ring our bell and toot our horn and let everybody know that you should be listening to this podcast.
So, exactly.
It has gone through a little bit of a metamorphosis since you've been gone. We've changed up the way we do things, if you will. Think it's a little bit more streamlined, a little bit more interesting for the listener. Talk about a little bit more of the meat of everything, as opposed to just trying to break down last week, get to next week. We're just kind of look into our crystal ball throughout the show and try to predict how players are going to be moving forward. And so one of those guys that's just been absolutely phenomenal all season long thus far, that I think, I don't know if any of us expected him to be number one at the wide receiver position in Adam Thielen, but Adam Thielen's been absolutely phenomenal. He is easily the wide receiver one in probably everybody's league. He has seven straight games with over 100 yards receiving. He has touchdowns in five of those seven games. He's been nothing short of phenomenal. Now here comes the hard part. We gotta take into account the other great wide receivers around the league. There's a couple outliers at the top right now. Emmanuel Sanders right at the top. One of my favorite wide receivers. He's in the intro for me now. Right up there. Rank these guys kind of going down the stretch. We're going to leave probably some of the bigger names that might have been drafted ahead of them out of this list for now. And we're going to start with Adam Thielen, Tyreek Hill, Emmanuel Sanders, Devontae Adams, those four receivers. And believe it or not, those are four of the top five receivers right now in PPR formats.
Well, of course, Minnesota's wide receiver got to be up there at number one. I love how quiet he is. He's not somebody that's getting talked about a lot, which is good for you if you have him in on your team, because no one's going to be suspecting him to be coming in there and doing what he's doing for you. So he's got to be your number one, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and he's definitely giving you great value for where you draft him. He went anywhere from the third to sixth round. I know later in the drafting season, he was going higher, maybe even second round in some drafts, because he was having a great preseason. So this is one of those guys that he has a connection with Kirk Cousins, and this team is throwing the ball a lot.
Who you got after him that would be at a number two?
That one's interesting to me. Tyreek Hill, I think actually so far the way that this is settled is probably the way I'd rank it. The only ones I might swap would be Emmanuel Sanders and Devontae Adams. And that has more to do with the quarterback situation. I love Sanders. I think he's a great, great wide receiver. He runs phenomenal routes, but he is dealing with a guy like Case Keenum at quarterback, and as great as Adam Thielen was last year, he wasn't this great with Case Keenum. Emmanuel Sanders probably actually kind of overreaching right now with the quarterback play that he has. Devontae Adams obviously has Aaron Rodgers, best quarterback in the game. So I'd probably go Adam Thielen, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, then Emmanuel Sanders in there. All of these guys should be great going down the stretch. My question to you is, are they all going to continue to be wide receiver ones when it's all said and done?
I can definitely see that. I know that Cobb is coming back strong for Green Bay. So that's the only thing that would mess with Adams out there. But other than that, Adam is still going to be getting a lot of touches from Green Bay. You know, they love throwing the ball. So Cobb and him will get the ball just like they're supposed to. I can't see any of those guys going too far down within your fantasy football points. So if you got them on your team, definitely keep them starting and keep them going, unless you got a bye week or something you got to deal with.
So these guys are above right now the elite talent. DeAndre Hopkins, the first of those elite wide receivers in PPR format to pop his head out there, and that is in the fourth position. You go down to the sixth position, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, A.J. Green, and then you jump Robert Woods for Antonio Brown. The elite wide receivers are up there where we thought they would be, but they're not necessarily at the very top. Antonio Brown has been the number one receiver for three of the last 4 years. He's coming in right now as the number one wide receiver two in fantasy if you're playing in 10-team leagues. How do you rank these guys going forward? DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Odell, Michael Thomas, AJ, Antonio Brown. That's kind of a lot all in one, but those are kind of your elites that were drafted at the top of the draft boards that are currently being outperformed.
I think I'd have Hopkins at number one. I think he's the only one that's really doing anything right now. What is Antonio Brown's stats looking like right now? I think he's sitting at like 500 yards at the most.
Antonio Brown is coming off back-to-back 100-yard receptions. Okay. He has touchdowns in every single game except for week two. He still had 9 receptions in week two. You're looking at a guy that's getting double-digit targets every week. His yardage has been a little bit down, but it's popped as of late. He's coming off of a bye week going against Cleveland. Does have a little bit of a few tough schedules there. He's got Baltimore, Jacksonville. Say what you say about Carolina, they're a little softer this year, but they still have a strong defense. You still have the Los Angeles Chargers. So Pittsburgh by no means has an easy schedule going forward for its wide receivers. It's just typically you think that those wide receivers are above a tough schedule. It's, I guess the question at this point is Antonio Brown going to jump into the mid-tier of the wide receiver ones by the end of the season, or is he going to stay
right where he's at?
Exactly.
Good question. Just him being him, I would go for the, especially if you got him on your team, I'd go for him being able to jump up there, get up there and do something for your team so that you're just not, he's not going to not be there. So I would put my money on him being okay for you and actually getting you something for your team.
The one guy that we haven't talked about that's kind of right there, a fringe, a guy that we thought maybe he would become an elite talent. He's got the likes of Jameis Winston, who's putting up huge numbers, and that's Mike Evans. Sitting there right with the likes of Stephon Diggs, Tyler Boyd, Juju Smith-Schuster. Even currently, Cooper Kupp, kind of got to take him out of the equation at the moment with the injury. Rank those guys going forward. Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, Tyler Boyd, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju's actually been doing his thing, so Juju's got to be up there. He's definitely within the fight for a 1-2. He's been showing up throughout the whole season. I think of people that went and got Antonio Brown were a little upset with what Juju's been doing, because tell you the truth, he's kind of been stealing a little bit.
He has. He's siphoned some of that Antonio Brown thunder for sure.
Yeah. And who else did you have on there?
We got Mike Evans, Tyler Boyd, and Stephon Diggs.
I would have said Mike Evans if he still had Fitzpatrick throwing him the ball, but now that he doesn't, he probably has to drop down to maybe 3. Diggs isn't doing too bad. Just depends on if his quarterback can get him the ball or not. The teams he's playing, New Orleans, Detroit, he can definitely get some touchdowns with those defenses going up against him. So I could probably set him at either a 3 or a 4. And Boyd has definitely been showing up last week against Kansas City, but that's just Kansas City. He didn't do too well. So I can see him coming back strong for you and giving you at least 15 to 20 points easily. So I'd have him probably at my number 2.
Yeah, I think I like Juju 1, Evans 2, Stephon 3, Boyd 4. A lot of that has to do at this point at talent, pedigree, offenses that they're in. Evans definitely in a great offense. Juju in a great offense. Stephon in a great offense. I think Tyler's in a good offense. Yeah. And then at the same time, Tyler is the second fiddle to AJ Green, no matter what you say, whether he's close in points or not right now, which he is, but he is the second fiddle. Mike Evans is the one there. Juju is the second fiddle. Stefan is the second fiddle. And so you would think by all of the, you know, all of them being second fiddle except for Mike Evans, you would think Evans is one. The problem is you nailed it on the head. Fitzmagic isn't there.
Fitzmagic
was doing great things for him. And not that Winston isn't going to give him opportunities. He's not going to give him as many opportunities. Winston's done a great job of spreading the ball around, not just to his team, but to the other team as well. This guy is a turnover machine.
True.
But at the same time, he puts up big yards. He does put up touchdowns. And so in the long run, there's going to be more good days than bad days for Mike Evans. Stephon Diggs, I think there's a little bit of peak and valley with that guy. I think a lot of that meat's obviously going to Adam Thielen. We've already talked about that. And so I just think that he is the second fiddle there. I mean, you would think that that would open up some things because teams are going to game plan for Thielen, but they're not. Teams have game plan for Diggs, and Thielen's feasted on that. So Juju's just in a great spot, and he's a phenomenal talent. Moving on, there's been some the one that I think is interesting, Kenny Golladay, Golden Tate on the same team. These two guys, like Golden Tate came out quick out of the gate, looked like classic Golden Tate, slowed down a little bit, not quite the same. At the same time, Kenny Golladay starting to heat up a little bit, looking a little bit better. Had an opportunity to catch a touchdown last week. I believe it was called back. Rank these two going down the stretch. Kenny Golladay, Golden Tate on the same team.
Ooh, the two of them. I'd have to take Tate before. Was that you said that you had going on there, Golladay?
Yep.
I'd have to take Tate before Golladay, but they're both doing fantastic, especially with the quarterback that they have. You know he loves to get the ball out there and throw the ball, but as long as they're not getting it drawn back or touchdowns called back or a 30-yard pass called back because the offensive line or somebody's holding, they should be doing good for you. Because if anything, Detroit is always putting up good points for wide receivers and their quarterback as well for your fantasy league. So between the two of them, unfortunately, Galladay's got to be number two.
Now, Devin Funchess has come on as of late. He's coming off of back-to-back touchdown performances. He has yet to reach 100 yards receiving this season, but he has been getting the looks. He has been getting the receptions. You look at a guy like Will Fuller, who's been up, he's been down, started off with back-to-back 100-yard games, had a lull, came back this last week, led the Houston Texans in receptions, and will not have to contend with the likes of Kiki Coti this coming week. Then you have the likes of a guy like Michael Crabtree, who has been significantly fed targets, but has failed to take advantage of them. And then there is Tyrell Williams, who is going on a bye this week. However, he's coming off back-to-back 100-yard, both games with 118 yards, touchdowns in both performances. But the caveat with Tyrell Williams is he has not caught more than four passes in a game this season. Rank Tyrell Williams, Michael Crabtree, Devin Funchess, and Will Fuller going down the stretch.
I would have Funchess sitting at number one. Fuller probably sitting at number two. And who else did we have in there? You had
Crabtree and Tyrell Williams.
Crabtree was fantastic towards the beginning of this season, but I feel like he's dropping down. So it'd probably be Williams and then Crabtree that I'd have that sitting at.
Yeah, no, the only thing I think I would switch is I think I might have Will Fuller and Funchess switched. I'd probably go Fuller 1, Funchess 2. Fuller just based on the upside. Like I said, he has the back-to-back 100-yard games. If Kiki Coti isn't in the lineup, I think this is a guy who is a high wide receiver 1 upside. I don't know if you can ever say that of Devin Funchess. I think the best you can say is he's got wide receiver 2 opportunity, which I believe he was around that last week. The last 2 weeks where he's been in the 5-6 receptions. 74, 62-yard area and touchdowns in both games. So just – but that's about his ceiling.
Well, yeah, that's where it stops at right there.
Whereas Will Fuller, you're looking as a guy – I don't think he's reached his ceiling, but week two he had 8 receptions, 113 yards, touchdown. That's a pretty good ceiling.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think this guy could go 115 two touchdowns easy, 142 touchdowns easy, just based on his physical ability now and the thought that the Houston Texans are far from running like a well-oiled machine and that they have a lot of upside moving forward in the season.
Houston is playing fantastic. The only thing is that's got me over on Funches is the quarterbacks. Don't know how Houston's quarterback is going to be doing, if he's going to be getting hurt or playing as well as he was at the beginning of the season. I just feel like Cameron's doing a lot better over there in New Orleans.
Now, that's an interesting question. Now, we know that it came out last week Deshaun Watson was actually bussed to the game. Had a bruised lung, has a rib injury. They were worried about exacerbating it with a plane ride. That is kind of alarming as a fantasy owner. Then you have a guy like, I don't know, Mitchell Trubisky, who's coming off of a really great streak of three games in a row with over 300 yards passing, multiple touchdowns in all of those games. Who do you like going forward, Mitchell Trubisky or a Deshaun Watson?
Ooh, Trubisky got a little lucky that last week, but I'm not sure if I'm still going to, if I'm going to take him as the number one. So I'd probably have him sitting at number two behind, is that Houston's quarterback, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely have Houston's quarterback at number one and have Trubisky at number two.
Yeah, no, I like Deshaun Watson. I think the upside you have there is too great. If you actually look at his schedule, it's not too daunting. Miami, you're not afraid of that defense. Denver, sorry, you're not afraid of that defense anymore. Washington's a pretty good defense, but it's not great. Tennessee, good defense, not great. Cleveland, Indy, New York Jets, Philly. And then most teams don't play in week 17 when they play Jacksonville again. So really actually pretty good
for the rest of the
season. I like Deshaun Watson. At the same time, Mitchell Trubisky, you got to play, Buffalo, which actually is a pretty good defense. You got to play the Rams and Minnesota. So it's not the easiest road to hoe for, the Chicago Bears. And you're just going to always have that ability to get 60 yards rushing and a touchdown from Deshaun Watson, where you're just that rushing upside with Mitchell Trubisky is capped. Another one, how about this? Jared Goff, Deshaun Watson moving forward.
Definitely going with Goff is at number one on that. There's no way I'm not going to be able to take him as the number one in that point.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people kind of scared off. The last 3 weeks have been not so great. Week six didn't throw a touchdown. Week seven, you just got over 200 yards. You're at back-to-back games where you're just getting over 200 yards passing. I think better games are ahead, but, I mean, you look at it, I think Seattle's a little tougher than maybe you would anticipate, but you have some pretty nice matchups in New Orleans and Kansas City. I don't think you're too afraid of hosting Green Bay. So I think better days are ahead. It's just the one thing you have to worry about when it comes to Jared Goff, and that is Todd Gurley.
Yeah, the running game that they have. That's the one thing you got to worry about.
It's so good. It's so potent. It at times limits Jared Goff because they don't need the passing game. And that is the one thing you kind of have to do when you have a guy like Jared Goff, is you have to kind of figure out when those games are going to happen. And that's not really possible to do unless you can see into a little crystal ball and look into the future. And so that's where it is nice to have a guy like Deshaun Watson, where I kind of went with the Houston Texans. I was, uh, I, Jeff joked last week on my team, we talked about him. He's like, AKA your fantasy football team, because I have Deshaun Watson, because I have Will Fuller, because I have Kaimi Fairbairn, because I have DeAndre Hopkins. Yes, I have a lot of Houston Texans on my fantasy teams, and that's because I believed that they were going to be a very, very good offense this year.
That they would be putting up those points for you.
Yeah, and I also thought the defense would have a decent pass rush, but they weren't going to be great, and they were going to give up some points, and it was going to just be one of those teams where they were going to play throughout the entire season, and they weren't going to think about benching anybody. And it's just, I think they're going to be fighting for their playoff lives down the stretch.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know if things have gone the way that I anticipated with the Houston Texans, so I anticipate better days are ahead for Deshaun Watson. I honestly think he's a guy that's got top five upside at the position in the second half of the season.
Yeah, most definitely. And he's got some people to get the ball to. And you know that they're, without having running backs that can actually be running the ball for you successfully, he's going to be throwing the ball a lot. So as a quarterback, he is going to be putting up some points for you. So if you have him, don't be too upset that you got him on your team. He'll still be able to put up some good points for you.
Now, Drew Brees has kind of been a conundrum this year. He's either been throwing over 350 yards or he's been throwing under 250 yards.
Just depends on how he's feeling that Sunday.
Just depending on how he's feeling. We have Ingram back.
True.
You got Kamara there.
True.
Last year, they loved running the ball with this duo. Are you afraid of Drew Brees going forward? What do you think if you were to rank? Once again, we're just going to keep going with the Deshaun Watson train because he's been so hot with this injury. Two bad games in a row. Who do you have going forward, Drew Brees or Deshaun Watson?
I would definitely take Brees in that, only because that you know that they like to throw the ball out of the backfield as well, and especially if they got Kamara back there, they're going to be getting him the ball, and he will still get you those passing yards that you need. Drew Brees just depends kind of on what teams he's playing. One of the worst, we played Baltimore, 200 yards. The Giants defense played okay, got him to 217, so it just depends on who he's playing, but I would definitely take Brees over Watson.
All right, we're going to kind of shuffle it up a little bit. We're going to maybe move on to, let's do Ride That Train. Yeah, let's discuss some players that we want to grab and we want to ride going down the stretch, maybe some players that maybe you forgot about, maybe some players that are coming back from some injuries, maybe some players that have broken out and are doing great going forward. I guess I'll start. One of them, I think, I brought him up already. We've talked about him already in this show, and that is Devin Funchess.
Yeah.
Talked about how limited his ceiling was, but at the same time, when you think about what other opportunities there are in that passing game, there's really not a lot else going on in there. There's Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore and, I don't know, Olsen, if he's, you know, if his foot's not just, you know, falling off of his body. It's Funchess really in that passing game, and it's run CMC. And when you think about it, he's a big body. They've been using him in the red zone. Back-to-back touchdowns. Obviously, I don't think he's a wide receiver one going forward, but yeah. I think this is a guy who's definitely wide receiver two, flex-worthy, more weeks than not moving forward. This is a guy that's definitely not going to be a pillar, but he is going to be part of the foundation to somebody's championship this year.
So Funchess for sure, getting him on there.
Definitely, Funchess. Give me some Funchess.
Give you some Funchess. I think Seattle's running back, Chris Carson, I think he's going to be doing pretty good. If you don't have him available, you can get him for pretty cheap in a trade. I feel like Seattle's going to be using him a lot, and he'll definitely be able to get you some points. He's a solid number two running back for you if you're slow at the running backs this year. Chris Carson would be a good pickup for you. Also want to throw this one in here. I know we were talking about Beasley a lot, and now that Dallas has their new number one, Amari Cooper, I feel like Cooper will open up the door a little bit for him. So keep your eyes on him. I'm not saying to go grab him right now, Beasley, but keep your eyes open and see how Amari Cooper opens his doors up a little bit more for you, and see if you get him in the next couple of weeks.
Now, Dallas going on that bye week, so you don't have to grab him this week.
Exactly.
But coming in next week, he's been great in PPR formats the last couple weeks. I believe 9 receptions in week 6, 7 receptions week 7. This is a guy, if you're in a full-point PPR, definitely worth looking into. Definitely a guy on riding that train. I'm going to take the free space. Nick Chubb.
Going with the Chubb.
You
like
my,
it chubby.
Dude, my lineup got a Chubb this last week. I'll tell you what. I get that text, Carlos Hyde's been traded. And it's just like palm print. Oh, wait a minute. Nope. I anticipated something happening to Carlos Hyde. Maybe not a trade, but he's got an injury history, and he is the one running back I handcuffed. I handcuffed him with Nick Chubb, and I thought maybe if Hyde went down, that Chubb would take that
job. Chubb would get it for you.
And he would probably run away with it. And, well, he's going to run away with it because there's no competition.
Duke Johnson ain't taking
that job. So, Nick Chubb, you're definitely riding the train with him. He's definitely going to be a big part, a solid RB2 moving forward.
Yeah, Chubb is definitely a good one to go and pick up with that one. Who else do they got? Oh, who is backing up right now for Lynch in Oakland?
Oh, Doug Martin.
I think that might be somebody that you want to go swoop up real quick because they got Lynch sitting on the IR. Martin, they don't really got nobody to throw the ball too much because they're getting rid of the wide receivers like crazy. So Carr's going to be handing the ball off a lot, and Doug Martin will be the one that's grabbing those touchdowns for the running back for Oakland.
I think you're going to see Doug Martin get minimum 15 touches a game. He's definitely a guy that you're going to have in flex territory, RB2 territory, week in, week out. And I think you could actually put Jalen Richard in that mix as well.
Yep.
In PPR formats, he's actually been pretty useful more weeks than not this season. He's the guy that they go to when they're playing from behind. And I don't know if you noticed, but that team sucks. They're going to be playing from behind. Jalen Richard, another guy I think you can ride moving forward. That was ride that train for week 8.
Week 8. Almost done. Look at how fast the season goes by, man.
It's blowing my mind. There's a couple leagues I've been like, I can still do this, and then I keep looking at how much time's left. I'm like, I don't know if I can do this.
No, I can't do this.
Maybe I can. I don't know. I'm gonna play like I can.
even if you 1-6, 1-7 right now, just play like you're 7-1.
I've had some brutal weeks where I've lost by a couple tenths of a point or like
those are the worst.
Yeah, you see Patrick Mahomes throw 6 touchdowns for your team, and then you still lose. You're going, palm fade, palm print. Ah.
Yeah. It's not good to go through.
Not good at all. So let's move on. Let's talk about some running backs. I think this is an interesting week for running backs. You have Denver playing in Kansas City. I think they're going to probably try to run heavy. Kansas City's been awful against the run. Denver's actually ran the ball pretty well. They're not going to be at full strength. Royce Freeman dealing with an ankle sprain, probably not going to be available this weekend. Imagine Lindsay's going to get a few more touches. Where do you see Lindsay moving forward? He's right there with the likes of the Kenyon Drakes, the Tariq Cohens, the Adrian Petersons of the world right now in the RB2 territory of PPR formats. Where do you see Philip Lindsay moving forward?
I feel like Lindsay's going to be perfect. I think he's still going to be sitting in a good spot. He's still going to get you just enough that you need. I don't see him coming out there and just having one of those nights where he's not showing up and not giving you some kind of points for your team. So he would definitely be starting for me. Playing Kansas City, even though you're playing Kansas City, they like to put up a lot of points, so they do give up a lot of points as well. So even if Denver gets 21 points, one of those touchdowns is going to be from Lindsay, I feel like. So Don't be scared. You can definitely start Lindsey for the next couple of weeks without having a problem. I feel like he will be solid with his, 10, 15 points at least, if not more than that.
Yeah, I like Lindsey as well. I think he should be in for a big week. He's not a guy that comes off the field when the team plays from behind. He is utilized at times in the passing game. You'd like to see him get a little bit more involved with that. I think based off the preseason play, you thought he was going to, but he has yet to really get super involved in that passing attack. That's more for a guy like Christian McCaffrey, who, as much as he's involved in the passing game, this is a guy who has seen single-digit touches in the rushing attack 3 times this season. He's seen double-digit rushing attempts 3 times this season. We were expecting a guy that was going to be getting anywhere from 16 to 22 touches a game in the rushing attack. That has not happened. Currently sitting right around the likes of Ezekiel Elliott, TJ Yeldon, David Johnson. Rank these guys: Elliott, McCaffrey, Johnson moving forward.
Ooh, Elliott would be number one. Unfortunately, Johnson is going to be number three. And then you said, who was the other one we were talking about?
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I'd have to throw him at number two. And the only reason I'm throwing Johnson at number three is the issues that he's been having. I know he came out and said, I didn't say anything about Arizona or wanting to leave Arizona, but the way Arizona's playing right now, I don't see him putting up his 100% that he would be able to give you, or that you'd want to be and be riding that, thinking that he's going to take care of your team. I just don't see it. So I'd have him at number three and Elliott at number one.
All right, Adrian Peterson or Deion Lewis moving forward?
AP. I had AP as one of my ones to ride and make sure that you have them, because just the way that this man is playing, even though he's old, he still has that mentality of a pit bull. So he's coming out and he's still going to get you them points. And I feel like with the Redskins, they're going to have him in there when they're in the red zone for that touchdown that your team will need.
AP or Alex Collins moving forward?
Collins is someone that a lot of people are sleeping on right now.
I agree.
A lot of people are sleeping on Collins. I don't know. That's a flip the coin and see who you're going to take, or depending on who they're playing that week. You'd switch those up. If you got both of those guys on your team, you're very lucky. You'd probably just start both of them. But I don't know, man. That's a heads or tails for me.
AP or Kerryon Johnson moving forward?
Detroit, I just don't have the confidence in their running game. So I would have to go with AP on that one. If Detroit knew how to run the ball a little bit more and I didn't think that they were just going to be throwing it like crazy with Stafford, I would probably go with with him, but I can't. I got to go with AP on that one.
Last one, AP or Jordan Howard?
I'm going to go with AP as well. Just Chicago I don't have they back and they don't have my back. And they haven't had my back in fantasy football, so I got to go with Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, no, there's definitely something wrong with what's going on in Chicago and that running game. I don't like what Jordan Howard's been doing. You're looking at a guy that has not even come close to sniffing 100 yards this season. He doesn't catch balls. You thought after week one when he had 5 receptions, that was going to be a part of his game. He has 1 reception in the last 3 weeks. You're looking at a guy that's just not living up to what you would think he would be able to give you out of an offense that's as potent as Chicago's this year. Not to say that Chicago's an unstoppable offensive machine, but they've been putting up points. And despite that, Jordan Howard has failed to. Let's look at a running back that maybe not coming back this week, but should be coming back here in the next week or two, and that's Chris Thompson, who in PPR formats scored over 20 points the first 2 weeks of the season, had in his three of the first four games that he played in, he had double-digit scoring in PPR formats, been out the last 2 weeks, but does not have a bye moving forward. Do you like Chris Thompson or Lamar Miller moving forward?
Houston just hasn't been there. Chris Thompson would be a good one that you can pick up and have on your bench for you. I feel like make sure that you're not picking him up to be your starting running back, but he could definitely be the one that you can pick up and be happy with what he can give you later on in the season for sure. I'd probably take him over Lamar Miller.
Yeah, Chris Thompson in PPR formats, perfect for that zero running back strategy where people go heavy on the wide receivers early in the draft. He's one of those great zero running back strategy running backs. Thompson or let's go with your man Chris Carson moving forward.
Thompson, I don't know. I have to probably have to go with Carson just because I know that he's going to come out and Seattle's going to be giving him the ball. Thompson's going to have AP that he's going to be sharing those runs with. So I'd probably go with Carson over picking up Thompson.
Chris Thompson or Royce Freeman?
That one's not too bad. I thought I'd probably go with Thompson with that one. Because if you're doing a PPR, he's going to be catching a lot of the balls out of the backfield. So Thompson would probably be the one I'd go with.
Chris Thompson or let's go with Kerryon Johnson. Go back
good
to the Kerryon train.
Yeah, good old Detroit. Okay, only reason I would take Detroit's running back in this one, Kerryon, is because of the fact that he's not going to be sharing too much of the running like Thompson will be doing in Washington. So that's the only reason I would take him if you had to choose between the two. But both of those people will get you points. So if you're able to get one of the two and have them on your team, it would definitely be a good pickup to get.
Now, this one I think is interesting based on how he's gotten his points this season, and that is Chris Thompson or Isaiah Crowell.
Crowell is getting points, and I believe that he's going to be getting more points because didn't he just...
Bilal Powell is on IR.
Yep. So you got to go with Isaiah on this one because I know that he's going to be seeing the ball even more than he already has. And with the not a lot of attempts, but at least 12, 15 attempts, he still can give you 30 points, 20 points. So I feel like he's going to be seeing the ball more, which will get you more points. Go with Isaiah Crowell over Thompson.
Crowell's got opportunity. He's been more of a home run hitter than anything. If he's not hitting you a home run, he's been really, really bad. So you're either going to be really happy with him or you're going to be really sad that he's in your starting lineup. That's kind of upsetting moving forward. I think I'd rather have Chris Thompson in my lineup if he's healthy. That is the big question with Chris Thompson. I think Isaiah Crowell has generally been a pretty healthy back. He's just not necessarily been the most uber talented of backs. That just kind of lets me segue into Eli McGuire. He should be coming back about week 9 for the Jets. You can maybe look at him as a stash candidate, somebody that you can go on, find him on the waiver wire, stash him on your bench, see what happens. I know that the Jets really like him. They think he's a very talented back. They want to use him as a complement, kind of the way they did Bilal Powell to Crowell. Powell, the more shifty back. Crowell, they tried to pound more in the middle and get that edge. Crowell's definitely not a guy that does everything. Thompson's definitely not a guy that's done everything. I think, if anything, I think he's... Isaiah's given you, I think, the best days that he can give you this season. I might be wrong on that. I don't think it's the most daunting of schedules moving forward. But at the same time, he's been very fluky in his production this season. Let's talk about some people that we think are going to light it up. In this this coming week, a few players you think are going to be maybe some must starts going into week 8, guys that you got to have in that lineup. I'll start off with Philip Lindsay. I think if you don't have him in your lineup for that Sunday game against KC on the road, Denver's going to really try to dictate that game with the running game. They're going to try to get Lindsay going. He's super uber talented, and he's also been a guy that he's kind of like Austin Ekeler, where he doesn't need a ton of touches to get you those points. Most touches he's got this season was week 1 when he had 15 plus 2. He had 17 touches that game. That was it. You're looking at a guy that's getting you in PPR formats, double-digit scoring every week. I easily think he gets that 16 to 20-point mark this coming season. I think Philip Lindsay goes off.
Think Philip's going to go off?
I do.
Who is he going up against? Tariq Cohen. I think they're playing the Jets this week. Even with that defense, I feel like with Chicago and what they've been doing, if you got Tariq Cohen on your team, definitely have him starting for you. Feel like he can give you a solid day. He's going to be catching a lot of balls out of the backfield. Chicago's quarterback is definitely getting the ball out there, so that would be somebody that you might be able to get if you don't got him already. Might be able to get him in a trade if you don't have him, but that would be somebody I would be starting for sure.
I'm going to bring him back again. We've talked about him. You're not super sold on that Detroit running game. I'm just sold on the talents of Kerryon Johnson. If you watch him, he's shifty and he's powerful and he's fast. And honestly, if Matt Patricia doesn't just start going to him, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
That guy's going to go off this week again. Look at this guy, the first guy in like since what 2013 to run for 100 yards as a running back. He's done it twice this season. Both times he did it in under 20 touches. Last week he only needed 19 touches to go for 158 yards. I'm just telling you, this guy's uber talented. Uber talented. I think there's only been one week this season that he hasn't averaged 5 yards a carry. This guy's gonna go off. And guess what? No Theo Riddick. No Theo Riddick
no
this
Theo
season.
Riddick this season.
No, or well, this week anyway. So yes, I think Kerryon Johnson goes off this week.
All right, another guy that I'll probably go after this week. If you don't have him on your team, feel bad for you, because I feel like Jarvis Landry is going to go off this week against Pittsburgh. I don't know what it is, but Mayfield has been looking for him a lot, and he's been getting the ball for him. So definitely have him in your starting lineup this week against Pittsburgh.
I like that one a lot. I think that this offense has progressively gotten better from week to week to week. I think in that passing game, Jarvis Landry's starting to get going with Baker Mayfield. I think Njoku and Mayfield getting on the same page. I think that's another guy that you can really have kind of set in your lineup. He has back-to-back games now with touchdowns, and Njoku does. I think that's a guy that's kind of probably have a really good this week. And I'll bring up Will Fuller again. Will Fuller's going to go off this week. No Kiki Coti. The coverage is going to be slanted towards DeAndre Hopkins. Will Fuller is going to have another great game. I think he finds the end zone. I think he goes over 400 yards. I think Will Fuller is going to light him up this week.
Yep, there you go.
All right, let's talk about some tight ends as we kind of wrap everything up. I think King of the Hill, Zach Ertz, by far, that guy's been a monster this year. Travis Kelce's been a monster. I think that after that, that's where all the question marks start coming in to the equation. Eric Ebron, now on your team, had a kind of a disappointing week last week, had 3 straight weeks coming into week 7 with touchdowns. Week 5, he had 2 touchdowns. Kind of came back down to earth against Buffalo. 3 receptions, 31 yards. Who do you like for going forward, Eric Ebron or George Kittle?
I'm going to take Ebron this week only because they're playing Oakland, and Oakland got rid of the best part of their defense that they had. And I just feel like with all the moves that Oakland is making, that they're just – their whole team emotionally is just going to be down on this one with the injuries, with letting go of the players. So I feel like Indianapolis can come in there and get an easy win, and Ebron will get some touchdowns for him on that one.
All right. You just brought up – Oakland. They have Jared Cook, who has also been pretty good this week. He's going against Indy, who has been pretty generous to the tight end position. Eric Ebron or Jared Cook?
Good question. Ebron will be solid for you. Yet I feel like Oakland, that's the only thing they have. I just mentioned they got the injuries that are going around. You got rid of your best wide receiver and Amari Cooper. Your defense ain't doing much, so if they are scoring any kind of points, it would be Jared Cook. Unfortunately, I don't think that they'll be too close to the end zone, so if I had to pick between the two, it's Ebron over Jared Cook, but I'm not going to be mad at Jared Cook.
I think these guys are so similar, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
Both these guys in their career have been fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times type of guys, but yet this year... Both of them have been good.
Pretty solid.
And you look at it, Ebron in full point PPR scored 104 points. Jared Cook, you're looking at 84. So he's 20 less points. But his performances have been there. And with the loss of Amari Cooper, he's basically the only big body in that offense. I like him. I just probably don't like him as much as Eric Ebron. I agree. I think they're going to get more red zone opportunities, and he is getting red zone looks every single week. Let's go one more. Eric Ebron, Trey Burton.
Ooh, I don't know. How are you feeling on that one?
I actually Trey Burton's one of those guys that I bought into in the I do the zero tight end strategy where I don't worry about a tight end till around 12, and I bought into the Trey Burton hype. Now it started off slow, but it's been picking up as of late. He's got three straight games with touchdowns. He's got 13 receptions in the last two games, 126 yards in receiving against New England. He's kind of really jumped into that tight top 10 of the tight end. I think he and Ebron are slightly going in different directions. I think Burton's a little bit more being integrated into that offense. I think maybe Ebron's being removed a little bit since you see T.Y. Hilton coming back. You're going to see Jack Doyle coming back. He actually started practicing again this week. That's going to start taking some of those targets away. I think I like Burton moving forward over Ebron.
Burton sounds good. He needs to definitely hope that his coach is going to have him out there playing for him like that, like he was. But you're saying you're going to take him over Ebron? No, I'm taking Ebron over that, bro.
All right, now let's move on. Let's go Burton or David Njoku, as one of the guys I said was going to light it up this week. He's coming off of back-to-back touchdown performances, a guy whose receptions have been getting more and more involved since Baker Mayfield came on board. In fact, since Baker Mayfield came on board, he is the number two target in this offense. Do you like Burton or Njoku more moving forward?
I'm going to go with Burton with that one only because the way that they're moving right now, the way that they're playing right now, Burton is definitely going to be the one that I see getting more. The Browns ain't going to be getting to their tight end, if anything, I don't feel like.
Trey Burton or Kyle Rudolph?
Again, I'd probably have to go with Burton on that one.
And Njoku or Rudolph?
Njoku for that one.
Gronkowski or Ebron?
Everybody loves Gronkowski, but I'm taking Ebron right now. I don't know what's going on up in New England, but he's just not the same that he's used to be.
Gronkowski or Burton?
I'm taking Burton on that.
Gronkowski or this guy who scored two more points than him so far this season, David Njoku?
On that case, I would have Rob Gronkowski, only because if you got him on your team, I'm pretty sure that you can trade him off to somebody that loves New England and probably get one or two players to help your team out there.
Would you rather have O.J. Howard, Trey Burton?
I'm going with Burton on that one.
O.J. Howard or Njoku?
Njoku.
O.J. Howard or Jimmy Graham?
Jimmy Graham, and that's because Tampa Bay has changed up the quarterbacks, and I just don't see the ball getting to O.J. as much as it would have if they had my boy Fitzmagic out there.
All right. Well, are there any matchups you're excited about this coming weekend for your specific team?
Specific just in general for the fantasy or just in
fantasy.
The NFL?
Yeah.
Fantasy, I think everybody that has a lot of people playing for Kansas City and Denver, whether you got Denver's defense or you got Lindsay and them on your team, I think that's going to be a good game that a lot of people are going to be watching. I know with it being finally got the bye weeks, a lot of people are trying to figure out how to get their teams back, and that's the best time of the year for me for fantasy football, when you got all the bye weeks and you got those one people that weren't paying attention to what the bye weeks were going to be, and they got like four or five people that all have the same bye week, and they're trying to figure out how in the hell they're going to get their starting lineup already. So this is going to be a fun next couple of weeks, I feel like.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of interested. There's a couple of little things I'm interested in watching. I'm curious to see if the Jaguars can start turning it around defensively. They have not been a really good fantasy defense this year.
True.
Are the Jaguars defense droppable?
Depending on what is available for you, I would say yeah. Whatever is available in being able to be picked up, or if you're just going by, sometimes I do this, I just go by how the week is going. I'll go and check and see what defenses are available and what teams they're playing that week, and that's how I go with my defenses.
All right. Let's do a couple more drops before candidates before we sign off for the day. Duke Johnson, drop or keep?
Duke, I'd probably let you go because I already got some solid defense or solid running back, so I'd probably drop you.
Okay, Kelvin Benjamin, drop or keep?
Kelvin, Carolina's not caring about you that much, so I'd probably let you go.
Shady McCoy, drop or keep?
Got to keep Shady. Can't let him go yet. I feel like he's probably going to get hurt within the next couple of weeks because every game he's getting up really nice and slow. Something's happened to his leg. So I keep him for right now, but you might let him go within the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Jordan Reed, drop or keep?
Jordan Reed. Got to let you go, brother. Got to let you go.
Keelan Cole, drop or keep?
Jacksonville, no. With what they're doing, got the quarterback issues and whatnot, I'd probably have to let you go, man.
Taylor Gabriel had back-to-back 100-yard games, came back down to earth against New England, 3 for 26. Drop or keep Taylor Gabriel?
Keep him. Don't let him go. You can hold on to him and just, I'm not saying to start him, but you'd be more upset if you let him go when he started putting the points back up. It's better to have him on your roster, just sitting on the bench, than to dropping him. So that would definitely keep him on the team.
All right. Well, I think that is going to do it for us this week. We are excited to get going on week 8. At the same time, kind of sad that week 8's
already here.
Yeah, that means halfway through the season, but hopefully you can take this information, take it, stick it in your lineup, get a win, get those wins, get into the playoffs, get a championship. Yeah. So you got it all from the Fantasy Sports Pundits.
Most definitely. And make sure that if you listen to the show, if you got us on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. If you got questions, get it to us, and we'll get your questions on the show as well.
That's right. We will.
We'll do that. You can find me at Kev Got You.
You can find me at Jesse Osman. And we are the Fantasy Sports Pundits. Mm-hmm.